In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Better late than never. We're not quite Rich Rod, but I think we're on that next pedestal down. Rod 1, Dirt and Sprague 2. That's how this rolls on a Monday for the commissioner of college football, who we have missed on our fine program, Josh Pate. You can hear his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube. Catch the podcast wherever you find the podcast.
He's at the 50-yard line, I heard.
At Josh Pate CFB, the 50-yard line of the
he's
field.
He's on the WVA logo right now taking this phone call.
You say WVA? Did you give an A in there?
Oh, I did.
Do you know? Sorry, Pate. I like to apologize for my co-host. Are you on?
I care about the Big 12.
Are you on the turf right now?
Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh no!
All right. Not only am I, I'm standing on the aforementioned. I don't know what the WVA logo is. The WVU logo. I am.
It's in the
I'm
ticker.
Standing on it. It's just me and maybe a wayward concession worker somewhere around here. I heard an echo a second ago, but as far as I know, I'm all alone in here, just trespassing. Hey,
Pate, what is your 40 time? You think? Like, ooh. What do you think you would run a 40 in?
Look, here's how I choose to answer that question on this show. If our lives depended on it, out of the three of us, I wouldn't be the one who died.
Yeah, that's fair. I would be the one that died. That's okay. I know.
Look,
we all have to know our strengths and weaknesses, you know?
I got in a big argument with a guy because I believe I can run a sub-5-second 40 still. I'm 39 years old. I feel like I can run sub-5 seconds. And he said, you're crazy. You don't get how fast sub-5-second 40 is. And I said, well, then I bet him an uncomfortable amount of money on it. And then I thought better of it, and we did not end up running. But honestly, I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, you got to watch those quads, man. They don't quite burn the way that they used to. So I'm curious to see what Pate's 40 time could be. Let me ask you this out of the weekend. I know you were tweeting a lot about it. What gets Josh Pate in the current landscape of college football to go full Mel Kiper and just melt down? There's a lot you could probably choose from because everybody has, you know, their gripes about the current landscape of the sport. What gets you to pull a full Mel Kiper?
So a couple of things just in the last week. I don't like that the same people who trash kids for chasing NIL bags are also trashing kids like Quinn Ewers for turning one down to go chase the NFL. That makes no sense to me because there's a lot of hypocrisy there. I do not like that there is not – how do I put this? I don't like how little legacy is valued anymore. I was just – so I'm in West Virginia today. I was just in Ren Baker's office 2 minutes ago. Well, like 20 minutes ago. That's the AD at West Virginia. And I was talking to him about this. And it was – it used to be that the word legacy really meant a lot to people. And – I don't know that people think about it so much anymore, but it still matters. So I want you guys to think, like, if I'm enrolled at Texas or I'm enrolled at Oregon or whatnot, if I'm there 4 years, think about how much more rare that is now and how much more valuable that would be for me 20 or 30 years from now than at any point in history. It used to be everyone pretty much stayed at one program. So if you went and spoke publicly 30 years from now at a charity event down in Bend, Oregon, or Denton, Texas. Well, big deal. You played 4 years there. So did everyone. Well, now, fast forward to 2050, and imagine being able to say, yeah, I played all 4 years of my college football career at one place. Think about how marketable that makes you. Think about how much more value that bakes in, and think about the respect factor. And also think about how much personal pride you take in knowing where you're from. Just a question as simple as, hey, where'd you go to school? It'll take some guys 2 minutes to answer that down the road. Mm-hmm. So just the legacy, I think legacy, and then also prioritization. That's what gets me worked up a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to mock draft them to go in the fifth round, but those two things are what get me worked up right now.
Well, I think that's the thing. We were talking about this earlier because you did a good job on the show yesterday, because I know NFL's not really your thing. I my only counter to that is if you ever like fight yourself on what to do and how to do the show is – I actually would tell you, as a listener of your program now for God knows how many years and a friend of the show, I actually would look forward to hearing your thoughts. Maybe not on like team fit, because whatever, the NFL is the NFL, but Quinn Ewers deciding to leave, Shadur falling to the fifth, other guys that you watched and you loved or you thought were really good falling to a certain round. I'm genuinely interested in that, because you may not provide the NFL part of it that people look for, but you have enough of the college smarts to help me kind of maybe mesh those together. So as a listener and viewer, I would tell you that I do enjoy your content. The legacy thing is interesting to me. We talked about this earlier, the Quinn Ewers example, because he started for, 3 years at Texas. I get where you're coming from, but I just don't think the collective world where that matters anymore. And yeah, you're right, the four-year guy could maybe parlay that into stuff down the road. But also, if Cam Ward hits, I promise you, Miami fans and future Miami teams will hear from Cam Ward in a Miami polo as if he played there for 3 or 4 years, because he's a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but you're pointing out the onion ring mixed in with the group of fries that I was talking about on the show last night. You're talking about an exception to the rule. I mean, look, if you can pull off a Cam Ward, more power to you. Transfer a million times for all I care. But the 99% out there are not going to be him. And the 99%, that legacy will matter very much down the road. Mm-hmm. It could be over the span of decades, the difference in millions of dollars of earnings, but also put money aside. I know that's a really weird thing to say nowadays, but put the money aside for a second. I don't know, maybe I'm alone on this, but just personal pride factor in a legacy matters to me. But then the other part, you know, for all the criticism that a lot of people give about the current structure or what is or isn't happening, you asked me a second ago what bothers me. Well, let me add a third thing on that. What bothers me is the disproportionate amount of, like, the criticism that the kids have to bear the brunt of when they didn't build the system. Mm-hmm. They probably, truth be told, don't even love the system, but they live in the system. They don't get, like, an alternate universe. There's not a button they press and they go to another world with another set of rules. So I don't know. I thought we got off of gripes, but I've merged our way back onto another one. But yeah, I'm told though that we're going to snap our fingers and all of that's going to rectify itself over the next couple of years. So we'll be good. We'll be fine.
It's all going to be fixed. Don't worry. There's great leadership in place. Everything's going in the right direction. Josh Pate is our guest, the commissioner of college football. You can catch his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Catch the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Am I a weirdo for loving spring football? We're going to have their spring game on Saturday. I watched every second of it. Might have watched it twice. Am I weird for loving spring football?
No, you're a wonderful person for loving football. You're a patriotic American for loving spring football. I would ask the group of weirdos that's hating on you, what do you got going on in your life?
Thank you.
What's happening in your life?
Thank you.
Hand up.
Can I just, okay, we have a hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
Thank
a hand.
Thank you for being brave enough.
Yeah.
Thank you for being brave enough to admit your treachery. So now I would like to ask, why can't you just leave the rest of us alone and let us enjoy what we enjoy? How come you got to try and litigate your personal preferences onto us? Okay, we know our truth over here. We love spring football.
So
is it unhealthy? Of course it's unhealthy. Are we drawing conclusions that we'll forget by August? Absolutely.
Yes, damn
but
it.
You know what? That's the way the founders intended this country to operate.
Yeah, famously, that's what Thomas
Preach.
Jefferson put.
It was in the Constitution. Spring football means more.
Here's the thing. I will tell you, I am one of those weirdos you speak of. I am also one of those weirdos that doesn't care about spring ball. I don't need your takeaway that Kenyon Sadiq had 9 catches against his own team and probably wore a red jersey, so he couldn't be tackled. But I will also watch Josh Pate every day he's on.
There's no offseason.
I'll hear what's going on, but I don't need to watch it, because God knows that's not the real football. The real football starts in July, in August, fall camp, week zero. That's the real stuff, baby. Give me the NBA playoffs. Give me some NHL every once in a while. I'll follow my Braves. And then I'll just listen to what Josh Pate tells me about college.
Wait. Can I ask one question, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is, I know we're all about humor on this show, but I just have one serious question if I can.
Okay.
What is the NBA?
Well played.
I think we need to hang the phone up.
That's
now.
Well played.
I think we have reached.
We got a basketball guy over here, Pate. We got a basketball guy. I'm over here watching spring football on
NBA
Saturdays.
The playoffs are elite, yeah, Pate. The NBA playoffs are good. You don't have to like the regular season. The playoffs are good.
I'm going to take your word for it. I've never heard of her, but I'm going to take your word for it.
We're all weirdos in different ways.
I love it. I'm curious on this. You know, I'm assuming that you had a few more important things like traveling and, you know, prepping your show going on than to sit around and watch the Oregon spring game on Saturday. But I'm just curious from the national perspective. You know, I've already seen, you know, all these post-spring top 25s. Gotta love those. I read every single one of them because I'm a sicko. And they're, you know, top five, top six. First time in a while that Oregon has had, and you could maybe go back to Lanning's first year with Bo, but at least Bo had played a lot of snaps at Auburn. But they have an unproven quarterback, and it's an open battle. Both guys had moments this weekend where, hey, it's a spring game, right? Offensive line's going to be a bit rough because you're breaking the unit up into two different teams. I'm just curious what you make from the national perspective on Oregon having another program record in NFL draft picks, but again having very high expectations for this upcoming year, yet this time without an experienced quarterback.
I think if you're doing spring takeaways, you're talking a lot more about portal than you are what you saw in the spring game. Just in all seriousness, you would have had to have attended spring practices, which are closed, to have real takeaways from a football standpoint. But what you can know is Oregon went and overhauled their offensive line. Okay, that's wonderful. They went and got a running back out of Tulane that I think will be a 1,000-yard guy this fall if he's not hurt. That's wonderful. They probably got an all-Big Ten caliber safety out of Purdue. That's wonderful. Those are, to me, the big takeaways about Oregon. And what's so crazy is what just happened to them in the draft and Ohio State, what just happened to them in the draft should decimate a normal program.
Yeah.
And instead, they're going to sit there and be expected to compete for the Big Ten title and a prime playoff spot again. And I think it's valid. I don't think that's unfounded expectation. But the Dante Moore thing, look, I'll just remind you guys, a former certain unnamed very high-profile quarterback prospect enrolled and then transferred out of Oregon within 5 minutes a couple of months ago. And he did that because he saw Dante Moore practice. I'm just letting you know, most people up there know I know that. But Dante Moore was good enough to scare away a five-star caliber kid that just committed there. So I have a sneaking suspicion Oregon's going to be okay at quarterback. You make that my bold prediction for this year. Oregon, okay at quarterback.
What has been the fallout, just talking to people off the record, on the record, what have you, what has been kind of the takeaway of where or what this world has been and is when you have the Nico story happen and then, oh, quietly happening in the spring that I don't think has really been brought up by many people. Hey, Jaden Rashada is playing at Sacramento State now. Like, what has been kind of the fallout from some of these high-level quarterbacks or just this kind of movement we're seeing in the sport, the way that it's transpired?
I was in the office of a head coach in the last couple of weeks. He put it very bluntly, but probably accurately. He said, the next multimillion-dollar payday, either one of those guys will have, Rashada or Iamaliava, the rest of their careers, will be if Netflix drops a bag in their lap to participate in an all-telling documentary down the road about how you derail a career. Wow. Because that's kind of what's happened to both of them. It's not that I wish it, but I don't have to wish it. It's happening anyway. The Nico stuff, I think far more than the Rashada stuff, has really jolted the sport into a course correction. And it's not isolated. There's a lot of other stuff going on in conjunction with it. But I've never seen sort of a coalescing of programs, coaches that normally are enemies. They're competing against each other. Sort of come together and say, yeah, we got to get control of this thing again. It's just whatever's got to happen. If Congress has got to get involved, if we got to make them employees, whatever, it is time for action. And I know we've been saying that for a long time, but we don't control things. But the ones who do have their arms within reach of the power levers in this sport and beyond, I think are motivated to change things now.
Interesting. Where's the next stop? So you're in West Virginia right now. I'm assuming that content will be out soon for the coach speaking spring tour. I did, you know, look, I watched the USC stuff, the propaganda from Lincoln Riley, a little bit heavy, a little bit hot. That's all right.
I did that for you.
I did that for you. I was one of those people at home. Yeah, this is the year the defense turns around. Where's the next stop? You got anything else planned? And will there be a trip to Eugene, Oregon at any point?
Yeah, we're planning the Oregon trip. It's not this week. I am told that I'll make a stop in the Buckeye State this week, and I will make a stop in the Yellowhammer State this week. I know you know what the Buckeye State is. Do you know what the Yellowhammer State is?
The Yellowhammer State? I don't know if I know that.
I thought you were a sicko like him.
I'm not on that level. I'm not commissioner level.
You sound like WBA.
I'm a deputy commissioner. What is the Yellowhammer State?
Well, anyone who's watched some spring games would know that is the state of Alabama. So, look, it's like halftime for you guys. Let's finish the second half strong up there.
Let's go. We're trying. Josh Pate's the commissioner of the sport. Go give him a follow on Twitter. At Josh Pate, CFB, a show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, live on YouTube, our time. Catch podcasts wherever you find your podcast. Great to catch up with you. Have fun on the WVA logo, and let's do this again soon.
I appreciate it, guys.